We have a series of change orders and change work that we are working with the contractor. To begin with is the Getty change. We have been in discussion with the contractor back and forth to finalize the change order. The estimating, independent estimating work is being done by the MTA estimators. Work is also proceeding with the VA, and Metro is evaluating the recovery schedule because of some 7 to 8 months delay that we had in getting the right-of-way from the VA people. GSA, even though they have given us license to enter the area, because of the FBI relocation plans they have, we are having difficulties in getting access to the site. You know, we have to get pretty much security clearance for every worker that can get on the field there. So it is.
But what agencies are you having problems with?
It's GSA is negotiating on behalf of all the occupants there, which is CIA, FBI, and everybody's in that building. So each one of them have independent requirements that we have to meet. So we are working through that. I think I have said this before several months. The schedule for the project is delayed by 4 months because of all these various issues that we are facing with. And we are trying to work with the contractor to see if we can recover that schedule. We are also having challenges with the utility relocations. The utility companies are tied up with the various ongoing work all over the city, including the exposition phase two. So allocating resources for our projects have been a major issue, and we are having series of meetings with the mayor's office and trying to get those issues resolved. We are also working with Caltrans on one of their Jiro lawsuits regarding the easement. Probably that's going to take some time, it appears from our discussions. And Kiewit also has suspended work on all the MSC walls because they have found the walls that are built are defective, and they are deconstructing them, and they have to reconstruct those walls. We haven't received a final schedule as to when all this reconstruction will take place. So the project will have impact on completion because of all these activities. If you have any questions on it, we'll be happy to answer.
Any questions?
Okay. Thank you.
Wait a minute. Director Wilson has some questions.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
You done with your report?
Pardon me?
You completed your report? The entire
Yeah, on the 405, yes, sir.
That's just on 405.
Okay. You know, I met with you and some of the contractors on the 405 freeway a couple weeks ago, and there were some issues dealing with slippage of time. Have you come to a better resolution on how we can get back on track? At that time, I believe you said, and the contractors also stated, that we were about 4 months delay and outside of the timeline that we had projected?
Yes, sir. We did meet with them yesterday here along with the mayor's office, and they haven't still finalized all the issues associated with the project. Their current assessment was not acceptable to us. We have agreed to work with them through this week, meet with them almost daily. That's what Mike Barber, the project director, is doing today, meeting with them, walk them through the schedule and see where improvements can be made.
So no resolution at this time?
Yes, sir, not as of today, no.
Okay. There was a couple statements made regarding the reason that we're behind on time. Can you kind of walk us through that again?
Can you repeat that,
sir? The purpose, why did we get behind? What caused us to slip?
Okay. There are several reasons. One is, of course, the right-of-way delay. VA access was delayed something like 7 months. We could not get the right-of-entry to get in and do any work there. We also had problems in getting an agreement, right-of-way agreement with Getty. In order to avoid disturbing the 96-inch water main, we need to move west the whole project and that required a right-of-way agreement between Caltrans and Getty. So that took almost 8 months delay on that one. And as I said, GSA entry is still being delayed. And the latest addition to all of these issues is the MSE walls. So these are the several issues that we are working with and see how we can catch up with the lost time.
Did the general contractor work out the issues with their subs that were not performing adequately?
Well, they are doing their best under the circumstances. Their sequencing has to change frequently because of the delays and access and entries, et cetera. So they are trying to do their best to get the issues resolved, and we are trying to help them out. As you know, in Sepulveda Boulevard, we have so many ongoing parallel activities. The Chevron pipe work is going on. The other fiber optics work is going on, and we are there trying to move the whole Sepulveda Boulevard by 14 feet. So concurrent activities, which are all very complex and requires many agencies to work with, has been a challenge.
Okay. And did you speak to the issue of Wilshire Boulevard and the off-ramp?
We are still trying to finalize the schedule on that. I don't have the exact timing of it as to when we will start. We will get back to you as soon as we have one.
All right. So are we still 4 months behind, or has it changed? Is it more or less than?
No, sir. It is still 4 months behind. We do not have a final date as to when we can complete.
And is your department working on who's at fault with that so that we don't get caught up with change orders that we should not be paying for?
We are very actively engaged in reviewing all the activities that has caused the delays and who is responsible and what actions we should take. We are working on it, yes, sir.
And then finally, the issue of Carmageddon 2, is that going to be impacted at all with the change in timeline that we had from before?
That's the meeting we had yesterday with the contractor, and we did not accept some of the timings they proposed, so we decided to meet with them every day this week and see if we can improve the schedule and come up with a date which is agreeable to everybody.
I think it's important for you to stay in touch with, at least at the minimum, the members of this committee, and in fact all the board members on this issue, because that's going to impact a lot of folks, a lot of different districts. Supervisorial districts, people who go to and from the airport, and I think we certainly need to be kept up to speed on this and not wait until we have not many options left to bring it to us.
Yes, sir. Well, as soon as we have some dates finalized, we will work with everybody to make sure it works for everyone.
You can come back to the next
item. Okay, next item.
The next one is the 405 Metro Orange Line Extension. We are almost at the final end of this project. Things are looking good. We are pretty confident we can open this in June. We don't have a date or anything. We want to start the pre-revenue operations in April, mid-April. And if none of the issues are there related to intersections and all, we should be able to open in June. So we are fairly confident we can do that.
Now, did you get in touch? You and I had a meeting this week with Mr. Taylor on this very project, and I know there were some concerns that you had. You mentioned there were 33 items that were still out of compliance, and you also had mentioned that there were some issues that you thought was related to DWP. I know subsequent to that time, we've had some conversation with DWP, so can you kind of give us a more detailed update on what's going on with those items that you had delineated on Monday and your department's relationships and working timelines with DWP?
Yes, sir. We have identified when the DWP should come in order to get this project done on time. So we had that meeting Monday. And now we have exchanged schedules between the two parties. And as we speak, there is a meeting going on with DWP and my staff and the contractor.
Yeah. Any other questions? Okay, go ahead.
Okay. The next one is the congestion reduction demonstration project. As if you are drive along the I-110, you can see that we have already started erecting the toll signs. They are out there. We are working on the pedestrian bridge at Adams Boulevard, and DWP is working on installing the drops for power connections at some 47 locations. One of the big issues that we have to deal on every night basis is with the Caltrans and their contractor. We have 2-3 projects going on simultaneously, side by side. So we got to coordinate the activities of all the contractors, and so we have been working on that. That's been one of the major challenges. Any questions on that?
Questions? Okay.
The next one is the Universal City Station pedestrian bridge. We have finally come to some agreement with the Universal people regarding the bridge. One of the issues was the overall cost of that particular project. We have suggested some significant changes, and we just got word from them that are agreeable to some of the changes. The basic problem, we are working out the schedule. They don't want us to work through the summer when they have most of the visitors coming to the to their facility. So we are trying to identify when we can work and when we cannot work in that area. So we should have that all done hopefully by the end of the month, and should be able to get back to you next month with a final agreement on that. Crenshaw Lakes Corridor Project, we have already advertised an advanced utility relocations contract. We are planning to open the bids on it on April 11th. We have received the request for qualifications from several design build teams. It came in yesterday, and the evaluation process has commenced today. We are also working on the property acquisition schedule for the Southwest Yard. And it looks like we may have some longer durations for acquisitions because of the people who are using those facilities there. So we are also working with our designer to include the Vernon Lemert Park Station and the Westchester Station, which would be issued as a part of the RFP. Next is the Paint and Body Shop on Division 22. This project was previously cleared through a categorical exemption in November of 2011 as a separate project from Crenshaw. The entire work is funded by the Expo One project because this was the facility that was supposed to be out in Santa Monica, which was taken out. The Fusion Homeowners Association is not too happy with the proposal. There have been several meetings our community outreach people had with them, and we continue to have those meetings. And we also looking at alternative locations outside of the Division 22 in case if we are not successful in reaching an agreement with the community. Regional connector, our preliminary engineering is done. We are currently discussing with the property owners along Flower Street. They have some concerns regarding the means and methods, and as soon as we reach an agreement with them, we should be able to get back to the committee and board for approval so we can move on with the project. West Side Subway, we are working with the FTA to speed up the process to receive the timely approval and to circulate the administrative final EIS/EIR document for public review. We continue to develop plans for contract packaging and construction sequencing. If we are clearing this as one project, the entire 9 miles, depending on the funding availability, we can go an entire 9 miles or we can segmentize the project as needed. We are working on the advanced PE for some utility relocations, and also the geotechnical investigations continues continue the work. We are looking at a test pit at Fairfax station location. Since the tar sands tunneling is an issue to majority of the contractors, maybe a test pit where they can come, see, feel, and touch the material may give them a better idea as to how to tunnel through this ground. So we are going to come back to you with the recommendation for the test pit. That concludes my presentation. Happy to answer any questions.
Director Wilson?
Yeah, can you pull the last item back up, please, the west side extension?
Yes, sir. Can you?
Oh. Mr. Murthy, I've talked to some of my colleagues on the board, and they're concerned that our projects, particularly some of our major projects, are starting to slip. And one of the things that I'd like to hear from you is, have you come up with a recommendation as to whether on this project, the West Side Extension, whether we should go for a design bill, whether we should go for a design bid bill? And if not, when will you be coming up with that recommendation?
Okay. We have not come back to you with a recommendation on that. One of the reasons is we are still working through some issues basically related with the tar sands, tunneling through tar sands and the risk associated with that, and also the fossils, the amount of fossils you might find and at what level you find them, and if you do find them, how do you recover them to the satisfaction of the Page Museum. So these are some of the details that we are working with and also put a risk value to it. So once we can feel the cost and the risk associated with that, then we will be in a better position to come to you and make a recommendation. Yes, we can do design build, or no, this is too risky to go design build. Let's go design bid build. So it will be another at least 8 weeks or so before we can get back to you.
How are you going about determining what the risk level should be on that? Are you doing core samplings or doing
Yes, sir. We have core sampling, and that's one of the reasons why we want to do this test pit for others to know how we have come up with the risk associated with the project. We have a very vigorous risk evaluation process. We do on our own. FDA does it on their own, and they bring in outside consultant to look at what we have done. So we are going through that process right now.
Yeah, 8 weeks is, I think, a bit much for me to want to sit around and wait for. I'm going to ask you to come back to our committee next month with a more detailed list of your findings so that we can keep abreast of what's going on with this project. I'm just concerned that, as a 405 project, which on the surface appears to be a project that's not a very high-risk project, but it happens to turn out to be one now, given that we're already 4 months behind, and typically time has a value on it with respect to dollars. And so when I just like to have you come back,
yes, sir.
Not 8 weeks, but you'll have 4 weeks to come back with your strategy, some kind of plan, giving us your sense of what we need to do instead of waiting another month past that time.
Yes, I would be happy to do it.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Next item.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What are we? We don't have.
Mr. Miles is not here.
Yeah, Mr. Miles is not here. I talked to his staff today, earlier. We're going to receive and file the restoration of the historic streetcar. Do we have any?
Yeah, do we have a short presentation on that? I think there's a very brief presentation.
Is there? Okay. I see here it's going to be on the planning program as well, too. But do we have a short presentation on item number 13? Thank you.
Good morning, Directors. Diego Cardoso with Transportation Development and Implementation. And then what we're going to present to you today, it's an item that we've been working on behalf of the city, and it's conducting the alternatives analysis, and it's fully paid by the city of Los Angeles. And then we will be, Laura Cornejo, who is the project manager, will be doing a short presentation.
Good morning. Good morning. Let me just get this up here, if I can do so. Is it not showing? I'm sorry. Okay. There we go. Okay. Good morning. We morning. Completed the alternatives analysis study for the restoration of historic streetcar service in January of this year. Within the study, we recommended alternative 7 as the locally preferred alternative. This alternative is just short of 4 miles with an estimated 8,400 daily boardings and a capital cost of about $107 million. Included with the LPA recommendation is a design variation to be studied further in the next phase of the project, where we would look how far south on Grand Avenue we are able to operate a streetcar. Also, the LPA includes operating on 7th Street. The City of Los Angeles' bicycle master plan includes bicycle lanes on 7th Street. And we have been working very closely with LEDOT, and we will continue to do so. However, in the event that we cannot accommodate bicycle lanes, a streetcar, and vehicle traffic, we will then look to clear 9th Street as the street where we would operate the streetcar. We have been working very closely with the City of Los Angeles as the lead or the sponsor of this project, and we have also been coordinating our efforts with Los Angeles Streetcar, Inc. On January 31st, the City of Los Angeles took action and concurred with the staff's recommended LPA. Our next steps are to confirm receipt of funding from the City of Los Angeles so that we can carry out the environmental work. And once that is done, we will proceed with NEPA and CEQA activities. Thank you. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And first, I want to thank the Metro staff for their hard work in a well-run public review process, and I'm looking forward to starting the official environmental review process. This was a requirement from the FTA since we will potentially use some federal funding, and now we will go into the official, what we're familiar with, which is CEQA and NEPA review. So thank you for all your work, and I just want to acknowledge some folks who are here supporting this effort. Steve Needleman, he's a property owner downtown, Shiraz Tangri, downtown neighborhood council, Russell Brown, downtown neighborhood council, Paul Habibi, the Los Angeles Streetcar Inc. executive director, that's the nonprofit heading this effort along with the City of LA, and Bart Reed from the Los Angeles Transit Coalition. Thank you for your attendance today, for your support of this project, and I just want to thank the staff. I think this is a very important step for the streetcar, and it's going to complement the work we're doing on the regional connector. Some may ask, why is there competition? Why are we doing this transportation versus we're already doing the connector? But it complements it. It's a people mover at the surface level that I think will not only provide a better transportation system, but help with the economic development efforts to revitalize some corridors of downtown Los Angeles. So thank you for your work.
Question?
Yes.
Could you restate your name, please?
Laura Cornejo.
Cornejo?
Yes.
Nice to meet you. You mentioned in your report there was a reference to CRA, and I'm just wondering, given that CRA is no longer mm-hmm. what we knew it to be before, is this going to impact this project in a negative way financially?
No, we will be working with the Bureau of Engineering as our point of contact within the City of Los Angeles. We have funding to move forward into the next phase of the project, and we anticipate receiving additional funding to complete the work.
So there's no CRA funds involved in this project?
Not at this point, no. The Bunker Hill funds were for the alternatives analysis phase, which is now completed.
There was about $10 million that was obligated by CRA that has transferred. So even if the CRA is now no longer around, those $10 million have already been
Excellent.
Committed and earmarked and transferred.
Thank you.
Has it been spent?
Not all of it has
not
been
all
spent.
Of it.
Some of it has been for the environmental review process. And, that money can only go to actual construction an environmental review. For example, we do our own fundraising for the nonprofit to do the operations and move this forward. And so Metro staff has been very helpful in lending some of their time, but really most of the money for this is coming from the CRA right now, that $10 million.
But, I mean, will it wind up being reviewed as an enforceable obligation?
Yes, yes.
Well, good, because I was just concerned that we would get a surprise later on.
Well, you could get a surprise depending on the oversight committee and the audit. You know, I mean, just That's why I asked if it was spent.
We have about $1 million in a Metro escrow account for this project, and it's very clear to that the board's direction is that if we do not have the funding in hand, we're not to carry out the work.
Yes, under the criteria that we've reviewed, it would seem most likely that the Oversight Committee would continue those $10 million, but there's always a chance for a surprise. But,
yes. Yeah,
but we've looked at the criteria. We feel very confident that the Oversight Committee will allow the $10 million, whatever hasn't been spent, to continue moving forward.
Well, at least some money has been spent, right?
Yeah. Yeah, some money's
been spent. That's good. Okay. All right. Thank you. Any other questions?
Thank you.
We'll receive and file.
Thank you.
Item 40 is an update on the
Good morning. Brian Boudreau, Executive Director of Program Management. I'd like to quickly go through the budget and schedule status for each of our major construction projects. First slide is just a summary of the 17 projects that we're keeping track of, the 17 major construction projects, I should say, of which 9 are in the engineering or construction phase. First project, the Orange Line extension, from a budgetary standpoint, a very positive result. We're projecting an underrun on this project. And on a schedule perspective, likewise, originally this project was expected to be completed in the summer, and now it's looks like it's going to be completed in June. Crenshaw LAX, budgetary-wise, still at $1.7 million. No additional risk that would cause us to believe that's going to be overrun at this point. And on a scheduling perspective, also, 2018 is still our forecast to completion. West Side Subway Extension, we got some positive results from FTA last week. They've completed one of their key reviews of the environmental documents, so we're hopeful that that the environmental document will go to the board next month, and then we'll get a record of decision for that project the month after. So that's moving along quite well, and then hopefully we'll be able to get into final design on this project in the summer of this year. Regional connector is on the is going to the full board this month, so the schedule reflects that that expectation. And if that does get approved by the board, the environmental document this month, we're hopeful that FTA will issue a record decision the month after and get the project rolling again. From a budgetary standpoint, we're still forecasting a $1.4 billion budget for this project. CRD project, Mr. Murthy went through some of the details on this, but at this point, we don't forecast any variance either on the budget or the schedule side of this project. 405, as was noted earlier, there's a forecasted delay in the project. We're also trying to we're doing a reassessment of the cost to see if there's any impact on the cost of the project as a result of this delay or any other factors on the project. Gold Line Foothill Extension, we're overseeing the work of the two construction authorities, Foothill and Expo. So at this point in time, the budget we're forecasting is $765 million, as was the case last month. And likewise, on the schedule, we're forecasting 2016 for completion. Chris Berner, the project director, isn't here this morning. Oh, you're going to fill in for him?
Sorry.
We have a representative from Foothill, so he'll briefly go over some of the activities on that project.
Good morning. My name is Gary Baker, the director of construction. As was indicated, I'm filling in this morning. The project reached a real milestone this month. While working with Metro, we were able to have agreements in place to obtain all the property necessary for the maintenance facility. So except for a few small portions, it'll be identified during design. That represents a real milestone for the job. The contractor, FTC, the joint venture of Kiewit and Parsons, is proceeding with the design. It's on schedule. They're working on the 60% level design right now and performing some pre-construction activity.
Excuse me, can I comment just briefly on the yard, Mr. Chair? This is the first time where MTA has said to one of the construction authorities that we will not recommend proceeding with the line construction until the yard is nailed down. This is the first time this has happened in the history of the agency. This was per our agreement a couple of years ago. We had a bit of a crisis here. in the last month or so, but together the authority and MTA figured out a solution, so now we're able to proceed with the mainline construction, with the yard, so that we won't have the issue of inadequate facilities as has plagued us on some other projects, right?
Yes, correct.
So I'm very pleased with that. Thank you.
On the other design-build project we have ongoing, those of you that have traveled along the 210 corridor have noticed a substantial amount of work on the IFS, the iconic freeway structure spanning eastbound lane of the I-210. Skanska, the contractor there, has completed or will complete on Tuesday next week the false work construction, which really paves the way for the major bridge elements to be completed. That contractor is reporting a 60-day delay on the job. They are recovering some of that time, but again, we have 5.5 months of float in our overall program schedule between the completion of this and the overall jobs. So that'll have no impact on the overall program. And then thirdly, lastly, we are issuing an RFQ for design builders to submit their qualifications next Monday for the parking lot facility procurement, which supplements the alignment project. So that's all I have this morning. If there are any questions, be glad to answer.
Any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you, Gary. I didn't know you were there.
Next project, Exposition Phase 1. We're forecasting an increase in the budget for this project, as we have been for several months now, due to some potential claims on it, on the project. And on the schedule side, we're also forecasting a schedule delay, which I'm sure you're all very aware of, but hopeful that this project can be begin revenue operations in the next month or two. But Eric Olson's here, who will get into a little more detail on the status of the project.
Our contractor still has not obtained substantial completion. Our latest evaluation, independent evaluation, is probably looking at March or April timeframe. Metro did begin pre-revenue operations in January. Right now, we're working very, very hard at the junction to basically fix some problems that were identified by Metro and the PUC as part of the pre-revenue operations. We've come up with a fix. We've implemented two of the locations. We've done it successfully. The plan now is to go in and actually do the remainder of the modifications beginning tonight to finish on Sunday morning, so Metro can go into a full-scale simulated operating schedule. So we're still working to do that, so we can look at hopefully an opening date sometime next month. We still have the remaining construction elements of the project, basically the Culver City Station and the Farmdale Station, and we're looking at that probably sometime mid-2012. We are still forecasting a $2.5 million overrun on the budget, but we continue to pursue third-party reimbursables, which we still have on the books at $4 million, so we continue to work to close that gap. So that concludes the presentation.
Third party being?
City of L.A., Metro, LADWP, working with them.
Yeah, sure.
What is your name, sir?
Eric Olson.
Olson?
Olson, yes.
Can you speak to the issue? I've been told that on the Expo 1 that one of the areas of concern is, I guess it has to do with either switching or tracking or something along Washington Boulevard. And can you speak to that? Is that something that was designed or done through the construction, or is that more of an operational piece?
Well, no, the signaling system was done by the construction authority. I mean, the issues that we've had at the junction are basically sporadically the trains would what we call cap flips, and at some of the locations, the trains would physically stop. Mainly when we're going from a street running to the signaling section. So it's not a safety issue. I mean, what that shows is the system is doing what it's supposed to do, which is if an operator basically runs through a signal or it doesn't work, the train is supposed to stop. So the system is working from a safety standpoint. The problem is once the train stops, it can block traffic intersections and those sorts of things, so we have to get the train back up and moving. So what we're trying to do is cut in these LRT loops to try to eliminate that problem from happening, and that's been our main problem at the junction. We've done two locations, I've said. We've successfully done that. We've stopped the cab flips there. Like, we've got six more to do. We want to do over the weekend. We anticipate we should have successful testing, but we won't.
We also had one encroachment, though, already, right?
Pardon me?
It wasn't a test?
A test?
Didn't we have? I said that was not a test. Didn't we have an issue?
Not that I'm aware of.
You're correct. There was a train that was misdirected at the junction, but we've determined it wasn't a fault of the switching at the junction. It was an operator error leaving the 7th and Metro station, setting the switch for the wrong path. So, and we're working with the signal system to make sure that it doesn't allow that to happen again.
Okay. I think perhaps to answer the question that the director was getting to, the PUC has not approved us for full pre-revenue operation through the junction as of yet. And there's a variety of issues. I will note that we've done intermittent attempts at pre-revenue, and I will note that over the last few months we've made a great deal of progress, and we're continuing to make progress, so we are hopeful for an opening. There's still some issues with the PUC, which we will resolve, but they're not, as of this red-hot moment, we are not cleared for pre-rev by the PUC, much less revenue operations. That will be resolved. I'm hoping Rick was up in San Francisco yesterday, I believe, or the day
before.
He was
up yesterday. Unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to talk to him, so I don't know how those discussions went.
Is the issue with the PUC the Farmdale Station issue or Culver City, or what is it?
No, the issues with the PUC is, again, these cab flips at the junction. And basically, you know, coming up with a plan or a path forward that they're comfortable with as far as moving this forward. We're hopeful that we do the fix that we're talking about here this weekend, that will solve the problem and that we will get PUC to concur that, you know, we can move forward.
And you understand my concern, and Mr. Taylor I know has, and Mr. Leahy, is that we were informed of this, you know, incident via one of our customers, not by Metro staff, and that to me is a grave oversight because we're all working on this thing together, and I think we're all concerned about that particular junction.
So back to my original question regarding, is this a construction design, or what caused this to happen? I'm just trying to figure out if this becomes a change order, who's responsible for it? Is it us as the agency? Is it the contractor? I mean,
well, our position right now is that the contractor needed to install a signaling system that functioned as intended. At this point in time, it's not. So, you know, we basically have no intention of issuing a change order. Now, that's not going to stop the contractor from making a claim. But at this point in time, our position is no, this is baseline work. He needs to make it work the way it was intended to work.
And in the event that you cannot resolve it in the next few weeks, is there a manual backup plan to operate the system and have someone, you know, personally there, physically there, I should say?
At this point in time, no. The plan is to get the system up and functioning the way that is intended to operate. I mean, the system was put in as a safety enhancement, so we want to make sure that the system functions safely like intended.
Any other question? Okay.
Now we'll go into phase two of Expo. This is going from Culver City out to Santa Monica. Budget's still $1.5 million, as it was the last report. And likewise on the scheduling side, 2016 is the forecast completion date for the project. And I'd like Eric just to make a few comments about Expo phase two as well.
So phase two has been moving along fairly smoothly. We've completed basically a 60% design for the mainline contract. Our maintenance facility final designer is advancing to the 60% level. We have basically received the funding for the bikeway, so we've had our contractor begin preliminary engineering on that. Our Venice Boulevard bridge contractor is going to begin utility relocations next month. the large storm drain that runs down Colorado Boulevard that I've mentioned a few times in my reports. We did a structural analysis, and that structural analysis came back an RN that the box could basically hold up the loadings from the LRT, which is a very positive finding. We've submitted those to LA County Flood Control for their review and approval, so we're waiting on that. And then we continue to coordinate closely with Edison and DWP for their overhead power line relocations. So that concludes my presentation. Is there any questions?
From him, but I have any questions.
Okay. Thank you.
And that concludes our report.
Yeah. Well, don't you go, Mr. Boudreau, because I do want to go back to something you mentioned. Go back to your slide where it talks about the Crenshaw line.
Certainly. There we go.
At the last meeting, I asked a question. It was a statement made by either you or one of your colleagues that there may be some additional risks associated with this project from the point of exposition in Crenshaw up to about 48th Street, dealing with underground conditions, subsurface conditions. I'm not sure if you mentioned it was gas pockets or if it was water, pockets. Do you recall that?
That wasn't part of our report. Perhaps it was part of the construction technical report. I'd have to defer to the...
Is there anyone still here in that group?
Martha's here.
Director Wilson, could you restate your question so make sure Mr. Murphy?
I'm not sure who it was, but I thought it was out of this committee. Last month, we talked about the progress that's being made on the Crenshaw line. And one of the things that you mentioned, or someone mentioned, was that there could be additional levels of risk associated with the alignment that's underground from Crenshaw to 48th Street. And I thought you said, or one of you said, that it may either have been gas pockets or it could have been water, underground water flow. And I think you said you would get back with me regarding whether that was resolved or not, or if that risk level is as bad as it could be.
Underground gas is all over LA, so it's not unusual that we talk about gas presence. It is there in Crenshaw, even at regional connector, we expect some gas to be out there. So all the design and equipment is to make sure that we work under that conditions. The contractor will be instructed to use the Cal OSHA standards for a gas presence in the underground environment. So they have to use that kind of equipment and provide proper ventilation. So I will look at the geotechnical report one more time to see if there is any major concern. As far as I know, it's nothing unusual in that section of the Crenshaw. But, yes, we do have methane gas and other hydrocarbon gases in the area.
Yeah, I would ask you to do that because I thought you said you were going to do that last time and it would be reported back at this meeting. So,
okay. All right, sir, I will get back to you with that. I'll do that.
And Mr. Boudreau, in your report on the regional connector, you mentioned that we're well on our way to relative level of risk, and you gave a timeline, I believe. And my question is that if another delay is given on this project, what does that do with your deliverables?
Certainly a month delay. And the project moving forward through the process could reasonably affect the project's...
Somebody's coughing. I can't
okay.
hear.
Yeah, obviously, we have a very tight schedule on the regional connector project, and any delays at this point in time could potentially impact our ability to get into final design and subsequent phases of the project. That's not to say that we couldn't perhaps accelerate or overlap some of those activities, which certainly we'll try to do. But at some point, we'll start bumping up against some of the critical activities that are necessary for the project to stay on our current schedule.
Any other question?
That's all.
Thank you.
Last item is CEO's report. I'll give you a brief report of the last week or so of my time in Washington. Directors Du Bois and O'Connor, myself, were in Washington with a few other MTA employees, along with the Chamber of Commerce, LA Business Council, and the Public Transportation Association. Great deal of discussion on reauthorization. There is no bill in the House so far. Last week, as you may know, or the other day, Speaker Bonner talked about endorsing the bill carried by Senator Boxer and James Imhoff of Oklahoma. That bill was passed by the Senate yesterday. You heard that report earlier, at least one of the committees did earlier. We're pleased that the bill did use the title America Fast Forward, and we hope that it's approved. I should note for the committee that the current transportation bill expires at the end of this month, as does the federal gas tax. If the bill is not extended, that means that the federal project authority will lapse. That will affect, if it is prolonged, our ability to do federally funded highway projects, to sign contracts for rail car purchases, for bus purchases. Indeed, much of our bus maintenance and rail maintenance is paid for by federal funds, based on their principle that we should maintain an asset paid for by the federal government. This is the first time in memory we've faced such a situation where in barely more than 2 weeks the federal program will lapse, a federal program that goes back to the 50s. So I do note that many of the business people from around the country are in a great state of concern about this in terms of what it would mean to our projects and employment around the country. I do know that people in every congressional district are outreaching to members on both houses to get a bill passed. And with that, I will conclude. Thank you.
Okay. Questions of the CEO? Okay. Do we have any public comment? All right. Nothing further in agenda. This meeting's adjourned.